Paul White joins us. Of course, he was the creator of Baseball Weekly, which we love so much. He's back east and always joins us on the holidays to give us some baseball perspective. Paul, how are you?
Doing great, Marty.
Yeah, so that was my little open here. Let's start with Giants-Cubs. And, of course, you're back east. We're here. We watched every single inning of every one-run game, 14 hits. What was your take on the series?
Boy, it sure makes you want to see those two match up in the playoffs, doesn't it? I mean, it's just certain matchups are fabulous. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, on one side you have the Cubs, who have clearly been the best team in baseball this year, absolutely. But, you know, they haven't been through this before. They're going to be in the playoffs. We don't know how they're going to react. And the Giants are sort of the ultimate playoff-tested team. Yeah, the roster changes a little bit here and there, but they get it. And, you know, that's a real sort of evening out factor when you get to October. And that might be the most fascinating series of all. I mean, you know, you could say, okay, Cubs, Nationals, two best records in the league, but those are similar teams. Those are teams that still have to prove they can win in October. I kind of like when the newbies have to face the grizzled vets in terms of playoffs.
How do you see the Cub team? And I got into this yesterday in the postgame show. Is it a team of power? It's an on-base team for sure. You know, they work the count. They did against DeMarge the night that you were on with us, 47 pitches, I think, that night. But how do you see the Cubs? How would you characterize them as an offensive team?
Well, I think they're adaptable. I think, you know, that's the Joe Maddon philosophy. You know, he thinks, I want to be prepared for any possible combination of players or matchups. I want to be able to match up with a team. If it's a team that I think my guys can go up and jump on the first pitch and try and knock it out of the ballpark, yeah, we'll do that. If it's a team, you know, guys like a Samardzija, can we stretch out his pitch count? Can we get him out of the game in the fifth inning? They'll go play that way, and he'll adjust his lineup that way. And then, you know, that's the one thing everybody, you know, calls him the mad professor, and he tinkers too much. Well, he's got the pieces here. He did it a little bit in Tampa Bay, but didn't have quite the pieces. Here he can do almost anything he wants. They're kind of like the basketball team that, do you want to run and gun or do you want to play half court? We'll play either way.
Ah, very good. All right. Well, we saw it this weekend, a lot of close games. The other part of this weekend, and of course it ended up yesterday, it looked like a 2-1 Giant win turned into a 3-2 loss in 13 innings. Casilla, the closer. Now, of course, you look at Casilla and, you know, 7 blown saves, and it's the most in baseball. It's the way it happens for a team that's thirsting for a victory, and to see it get away, it was incredibly frustrating. But then I thought about all these other closers. Look at Rodney yesterday. Look at Chad Allen yesterday. Look at Frankie Rodriguez yesterday. This is not an easy job, but when you lose and you let it get away in September, it's magnified 100 times.
Any manager will tell you there is nothing they fear more than that happening, because it just sort of rips the guts out of your team. I watched the end of the Marlins game last night, and just the shots of their guys standing in their dugout in disbelief. How do we lose that one? We won that game, and then we lost. It's you know, you can give up 8 runs in the first inning, get hammered, and guys kind of shrug it off. But there's nothing more gut-wrenching than those kinds of losses. And is there a closer right now in baseball, other than maybe Britton and Baltimore, that you absolutely guarantee you're going to win with? I mean, Chapman's been erratic. Craig Kimbrell gave up another one yesterday. I mean, everybody, the guys who were the proven, supposedly great closers, I don't know who's out there that I'm sure I'm going to lock it down when he comes in the ninth inning.
Yeah, and again, we focus here, of course, on Casilla and the 7 blown saves, but you're right. It's one of those jobs that it's been very difficult this year. To answer your question, I guess Britton, for me, would be as locked down as anybody, and we saw him out here. That power sinker is really tough to hit. I guess Familia and Canley Jansen, and I guess Melanson, those guys, Kimbrel, anything can happen with him, and we saw that yesterday when he walked people in the A's game.
Yeah, and, you know, Melanson's been real steady since he's gotten to Washington, gotten settled in there. He had some moments in Pittsburgh. I think a lot of those guys are certainly capable. You know, Familia had that fabulous stretch and then had about a week where he blew a couple. And you don't know how some of these guys are going to react in October. Melanson's had a little bit of it, little taste of it, but in the one year they got through the wild card game in Pittsburgh. But you don't know how those guys are going to react. That's another different animal. And you know, it's one thing that we talk about, how are the Cubs as a team or Washington as a team going to react? Well, how's that guy going to, when it's all there?
Boy, absolutely. Paul White with us. Always great to talk baseball with you, Paul. So what do the Giants do? I mean, it's the magnet for trouble is the closer. And here he is, and you know, you run him out there again, he blows another game, you're 16-30, my God, in the second half, but what do? Do you go by, you know, matchups in the ninth inning? Managers don't like to do this. You bring Joe Nathan in, who's 41 years old and has pitched nine innings all year. Bochy's got a real decision to make here. I know what the fans want, but as a baseball person, I wonder how they're going to deal with it.
You know, it's really, really difficult, too. The Giants are lucky in the sense that they have Bochy, and he's been through this back and forth, you know, over the years with Casilla and Romo and other guys. And, so he's fairly adept at that. And I think the Giants are in a little better position from the standpoint that if he bumps one of those guys out of the job, if he doesn't close with Casilla for a week or one night or a certain matchup, it's not as drastic a move. You know, it's amazing the psyche of closers, how fragile it is. You go back to what happened in Washington over the last couple of years. Drew Storen was apparently a good closer, and then they took his job away from him, and he just disintegrated. He couldn't even be a good setup man. The same thing has happened in Miami. You know, Ramos was doing a nice job for them. All of a sudden, they bring in another guy, and he's not a good setup man anymore. And you know, you have to be real careful, and I think the Giants may have an advantage that all those guys in that bullpen have sort of been down this road before. Mm-hmm. They've been replaced as closer, and they've gone back in. And I think they have a better handle on, all right, I'll just keep doing my job, and I'll get another chance.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting series. They're not hitting, and now they're in Coors Field. That's usually the shot in the B12 shot, as Miguel Tejada likes to say, the shot in the arm. All right, Paul White with us. There's a reference long ago to Tejada and Rafael Palmeiro. Remember that one? All right.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. All right. Paul, the Mets, and again, the Cardinals hit home runs. They've hit home runs 23 games in a row. If they don't hit a home run, it's trouble. Wainwright goes today. Let's jump over them for just a second. Let's go back to the Mets because the rotation's pretty much gone except for Syndergaard and Colon, and all of a sudden Jay Bruce is heating up, and now the Mets a game and a half out. Just behind the Cardinals. They're just behind the Cardinals right now. I think it's a game behind the Cardinals, but they have a schedule, and I know September, we're lured into this false sense of security that, well, the schedule's easy. These are pros. Nothing's ever easy. But the Mets may have a road here to get past the Cardinals and maybe even past the Giants.
Yeah, they may. I would feel a lot better about the Mets situation if that pitching staff was reasonably in order, if they could get DeGrom back out there. They've gotten some good mileage out of Seth Lugo and Robert Gsellman and Rafael Montero. Well, good luck keeping that going through October, or through September at least. But if they had most of their pitching staff out there, those are the guys who could dominate those bad teams. The bad teams get you when they get you into 7-6 games, and anything can happen. But lights out pitching can dominate those teams. If the Mets can have that, fine. But they've got to get their guys back out there, and obviously Harvey's not coming back, and they're still pretty fragile. That's why the offense that you talked about, that's finally starting to show up a little bit, is crucial for them. Curtis Granderson hit a big home run last night. If they could get him going, Cespedes is the guy who has to carry them, but they need more help. They need Bruce. If they get a little offense going, then they may be all right. They scare me if I'm in this race, and I still think the other team that scares me a little bit, we'll find out in the next few days, is Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh can do something against the Cardinals in this series, I think that kind of wakes them up. For some reason, Milwaukee has been their house of horrors, home and away, for the last several years. They just cannot beat that team. They've got to turn around and take care of St. Louis. If they do, I think they're right back in the middle of it.
Well, that is St. Louis and Pittsburgh. That's a three-game series that starts here. I think they play six times over the last month. But the Cardinals, let's talk about the Cardinals for a second, because we're going to see them. What is today, Raph? Today is Monday, so a week from Friday we see the Cardinals. A week from Thursday we see the Cardinals here for four games. Paul, this Cardinal team, they're hitting home runs like crazy. If you shut them down on the home run, and sometimes, you know, if you face good pitching, you can do it. They're not as good as we thought. Carlos Martinez is about the only one on the mound that's given them anything.
Yeah, they're kind of hoping that that Reyes, the youngster that they've thrown out there now, can give him a little shot. From a pitching standpoint, you mentioned Adam Wainwright, very inconsistent. You never know what you're going to get. You can get a two-hit shutout, and you can get him knocked out in the second inning. And that's been a problem for him. And I think the hidden thing with the Cardinals, their defense is nowhere near what it's been for over the last several years. Yadier Molina started to have some difficulties defensively. He's not throwing the ball as well. I think he's just worn down. Maybe there's an injury there. I don't know. Their middle infield defense is much, much weaker than it's been. The Diaz kid, who was playing so well as a rookie, got hurt. That they've got Johnny Peralta playing out of position. It's just not the same team. And if their pitching doesn't overpower you, and most of their guys don't, then the ball's in play, and they're not as good as they used to be.
Boy, this is going to be some race to the finish. Kershaw's coming back. He's set up to face the Giants a couple of times. Matt Moore is sort of the wild card for me. He's beaten the Dodgers handily a couple of times. Then you've got Bumgarner. They've got the new kid, De Leon. Puig had a three-run homer yesterday against a lefty, and so he's going to play more. I don't know, September baseball, there's nothing like it, and it is so unpredictable, and that's the thing about it. We all think, well, let's look at it, we can figure this out. You can't. You can't figure it out, because these are pros, and I don't care who you're playing. If you play a team that's under 500, if you don't knock them out early with four or five runs early and you let them hang around, you've got trouble, because they've got 60 guys they could put in the game.
Exactly. Buck Showalter talks about this all the time. The year that Boston blew that lead going down the stretch and cost Terry Francona his job, Showalter said it was totally unfair. I had like 40 guys. I just kept running pitching matchups. He was matching up with David Ortiz in the fifth inning, and he just kept running guys out there. And you know, that's a whole other issue about these expanded rosters, but it really does change the game. And you bring in hungry kids up there, and boy, they want to prove themselves.
All right, Paul, we'll take a quick break. Can you hang around for another segment?
Sure.
Oh, good. All right. And Paul and I, originally, we got sidetracked, as we always do when we start talking baseball. But I want to look at some of the MVP, the Cy Young races, maybe Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year. Let's get some of your thoughts. With only 26 to go, we've got so much baseball behind us. Let's see who's what superlatives are maybe locked up or are still competitive. We'll do that right after this on the Sports Leader. Paul White is with us from back east. Of course, Paul, longtime baseball writer, and just love talking ball with him. Paul, let's look at the National League and MVP in the National League. Did we see one of them this weekend in the Cubs-Giants series?
Yeah, you probably did. I think it's really a two-man race. It's Bryant and Murphy in Washington. I'm a little torn. I don't know what's going to change between now and the end. I mean, both their teams are running away at their divisions. I think Bryant has been more of an all-around player. The fact that he can move around the field really fits in well with Joe Maddon's lineup philosophy. He's probably done more things, but I think Murphy might have been a little more important to the Nationals from the standpoint that Harper's not had a good year. Ryan Zimmerman's been almost non-existent. Without Murphy's offense, I don't know where they'd be.
So who wins it?
If I had to do it today, I think I'd probably go with Bryant. I think he's just been the better player. It's really hard. It's how much do you put that word valuable in there? The Cubs would probably win the division even without Bryant, but he's just been so good.
I think they're going to sweep everything. I think they're going to sweep. We'll go through some of the, maybe Rookie of the Year will be in L.A. with Seager, I think they'll sweep everything. I think that. And what about Cy Young? Where do you go there?
It's really difficult. I mean, there's not a dominant pitcher like we've had. You know, I mean, Kershaw was till he got hurt, but we've we've had in the past few years, the Arrieta year and the Kershaw year and what Greinke's done different times, I'm still up in the air. I think all in all, Arrieta's still been the best pitcher in the league. But he, by his standards, it's not as good a year. I think Scherzer's certainly still in the mix. I think the two Giants, Bumgarner and Cueto, are certainly there. And obviously Hendricks with the Cubs. If you look at the deeper numbers, I think Arrieta is still more effective than Hendricks. But, boy, he's been good.
Well, I'll say this. If Lester finishes strong...
Yeah, he's right there. You're right.
The momentum is going to John Lester. Arrieta, it's not going to happen. There's no way. In my opinion, after watching him, he just doesn't have command of that slider that he used to have. The slider was his put away. He can't put people away with it anymore. He doesn't throw for strikes.
Right, if you look at the overall numbers for the year, he's still fine. But you're right. He's going the other direction.
All right, what about, and this is sort of interesting, and again, writers and, you guys write on this stuff and you vote on it as well. Manager of the year, where do you go there? Is it Joe Maddon hands down?
No, I don't necessarily think it is, because Joe Maddon had all the tools coming in. It's like, all right, who made the difference?
Okay.
I think two guys that have made more of a difference in their teams are Dusty Baker and Dave Roberts. I think Dusty's changed the culture in Washington. It's very, very seldom do I think a manager in baseball can do that, can have the effect on a clubhouse that normally a player leadership kind of guy would have. But Dusty's gone in and changed things in there, and that's been huge for that team. Their clubhouse was a mess. If you talk to guys who've been there the last few years, they say that clubhouse was very dysfunctional and people didn't realize it. And Dusty's made a difference. And if you take what Roberts has done, I know the Dodgers spend $1 billion on their team, and I know they just run guys out there. But to navigate through what he's done with all those pitchers and all the guys and the Puig stuff, and that's a pretty amazing job.
Well, the other one, when you think about it, and I realize he's a little controversial, is Terry Collins. Now, we've got a month of September to go, and I always say these awards are up in the air until you finish September. If this guy gets him in, and he's the first wild card, and he gets this team through September with his little outburst in August and all that.
Right.
Terry Collins, maybe not the number one guy, but I'll guarantee you something, he'll be in the top three.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you're right. They've got to make the playoffs for him to be a factor. But, yeah, absolutely.
And Mike Matheny, I guess, as well. But he's sort of...
Well, I think Mattingly's done a great job there, too. But they're fading, and then people aren't going to pay attention.
All right, Rookie of the Year, Corey Seager. I guess that's hands down.
Story and Lebmus Diaz were having real nice years till they got hurt. I mean, they're probably still better than anybody in the American League. But, I mean, Seager's a legitimate MVP candidate. He's not going to win it, but he'll be in the top five. So, I mean, he's got to be Rookie of the Year.
All right, very good. All right, let's look at the American League. Now, the Red Sox were out here. I think they scored 67 runs or something against the A's. Ken Korak was telling me last night. And of course, this is the beauty of baseball. Guy goes almost eight innings of no-hit ball. Rodriguez gives up the hit, and then the Red Sox lose it in the bottom of the ninth, 1-0 to the A's after scoring like 67 runs. Crazy, but the Red Sox look like a team. They're mashing the ball right now, and looks like they're getting better.
Yeah, and their pitching is starting to fall into place. The Rodriguez kid is really good. Porcello's pitched really well. David Price hasn't had a vintage year, but he's been solid. They're starting to get better as they get farther along. And and the kid who was the real sleeper there, when he saw him for like 3 weeks, was Andrew Benintendi, last year's number one pick for them. He got hurt. He should be back. He's their starting left fielder now when he's healthy.
One other thing before I forget. Scherzer, and I know we may have mentioned it, but Scherzer's another guy that if he finishes strong, I think he's in the mix.
Yeah,
too.
I mentioned him briefly. Yeah, I agree. He's the one non-Cub and Giant that I think is effective.
Yes, He and quietly, he just does his job, and I think he's having a tremendous year. American League MVP, it's always an argument in this thing, and the war people get involved with the... With the other analytics people, where do you go in MVP in the American League?
I think right now the two top guys are Donaldson and Altuve. I think Altuve's got to get Houston into the playoffs because Josh Donaldson's been the guy for Toronto, and I think he'll be a big factor down the stretch for them in that race with Boston and maybe with Baltimore. I think they're the 1-2. The Boston thing will be split. I mean, Mookie Betts has had a fabulous year. But David Ortiz, I mean, I don't see a DH winning MVP. There's going to be a lot of sentimental vote. The Boston vote probably gets split up a little bit among those two. You know, I know the Trout argument. You can, if this was a best player, it's easy to vote for Mike Trout. But you know, that team's been buried since May, so I just can't go with a guy on a team that's an also-ran unless it's one of those quirky years where there's no real other strong candidates.
Yeah, like a Cabrera, maybe a triple crown winner or something like that.
Right, right.
All right, Cy Young in the American League, and it's going to be a controversy, and this is why we love baseball. It's going to fuel a lot of columns, and a lot of talking heads will be spinning around about this one with Zach Britton, who's just been outstanding. Does he get the Cy Young as a reliever?
He may, just because, again, like we talked about in the National League, there's not that one guy having that ridiculously dominant year. I think Chris Sale's the best pitcher in the American League right now, but he keeps getting victimized in, you know, 2-1 games or games he had won that the bullpen gives away. That'll be an interesting vote. A couple guys pitch better down the stretch. Verlander, Kluber again in Cleveland, who started very slowly. I don't know if those guys can make up the ground. Sanchez in Toronto was doing a great job, but they're limiting his innings, backing him off. That probably cost him a shot. If Sale finishes up just blowing people away in September, he can probably win it. But if not, yeah, I think Britton can sneak in.
Yeah, boy, so this is why we love September, because whoever makes the most dramatic splash and takes his team to heights maybe they weren't going to get to or solidifies that race to the finish, that's the guy that jumps ahead. It happens every year like that. So
yeah.
I think a lot of things are up in the air.
I do, too. I think Sale, you know, if Sale gets a couple key wins against contenders like Cleveland or Detroit or Kansas City, that can make a huge difference for him.
Well, Kluber, too. Kluber's
yes,
starting to get
exactly.
Some, you know, he could win 19 here if he runs out of string to the end of the year. Paul White, all right, one last thought. I hope we're going to talk again before the end of the month. I'm sure we're going to catch up. But if you had to make a prediction today, and I know you love making predictions, it's part of the things that we love to do. Who do you see in the World Series 2016? If you had a, yeah, look, we're not going to hold you to it. We give you a mulligan. You know, you and I have done that before, but how do you see it right now?
I see the Cubs and the Red Sox. However, if Clayton Kershaw is back and healthy, and I know he's had his struggles in the postseason, but remember, this was not an arm injury, and this may turn out to be good for him. He may have a rested arm going down the stretch and into October. If he's 100%, the Dodgers could knock off the Cubs, but right now I think it's Cubs and Red Sox.
All right, farewell. That'll be one, let's see, 1908, 1945.
Exactly. Curses!
Dust off the record book. John Thorne will be the most popular guy the historian of baseball for the month of September. Paul, thanks so much. Enjoy Labor Day, and we love having you on, and be well, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
All right, take care, buddy. It's always fun.
All right, that is Paul White. Great baseball conversation. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.